You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday morning. That means it is time for Historically Speaking with Dr. Daniel Harmelink at Concordia Historical Institute. Good morning, Dr. Harmelink.
Even when it's raining in St. Louis, there's history to talk about.
Indeed. Indeed.
It's like the mailman. the postal officer. What's the PC correct term?
I don't know.
Mail carrier today.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to, first of all, remind people about the historical footnotes, the newsletter, CHI newsletter that just came out. If you're not getting this, we'd love to give you a copy, give you a sample. It just chronicles all the blessings that God is doing through Concordia Historical Institute. We'd like to get that into your hands. You can give us a call or give KFUO a call.
Sure.
We'll get that into your hands.
Yeah.
314-505-7900. Is the CHI number.
All right. Very good.
Also, we're coming out in a couple weeks, the Reformation coin and metal collection of Concordia Historical Institute. This has been a four-year project to photograph, weigh, measure, describe, with an introduction, the CHI collection. This is the most significant collection of Reformation coins and medals outside of Germany, and now you can experience that in book form. So now, CPH is coming out with it at the end of the month.
Tell me a little bit about the history of medals and their significance in...
Well, we're beginning a display for next year. You know, it's 2017, 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
True.
Surprise. So we're going to be displaying some of these coins and medals. A lot of people think that the Gutenberg was instrumental in getting the Reformation up and running. You've heard of Gutenberg, right?
Certainly.
He's the guy that put all the technologies together, came up with this modern printing press, and then they could crank out all of Luther's writings to all of Europe.
I'm glad that's the Gutenberg you were talking about, not the modern-day actor.
No.
Not that, you know, he hasn't done good things too, but...
People say without the printing press, the Reformation wouldn't be what the Reformation was. And my contention is it's not only the printing press, but it's the coin press that also was a medium through which the Reformation, the truths rediscovered in the Reformation, were broadcast to all of Europe. So the Reformation use of the coin, the metal, as a confession of faith. This is something that people don't think about. There are thousands. There are thousands and thousands of Luther and Reformation coins and medals. There are more medals about Luther and the Reformation than any other person in history.
Hmm. Interesting.
More than George Washington, more than Napoleon. And because some Christians have this image thing, right, about depicting Jesus or God on a coin or medal, I think you could make the case that there are more Luther medals than Jesus medals. And that's kind of interesting. But anyway, the CHI has the most significant collection outside of Germany. No one knows that. Very few people know that. And so we're just excited, again, to not only to have these treasures, but to share them with the church.
Interesting. So there will be an exhibit soon?
We're running with a date that February 18th of next year. This is the death day of Luther that will open this exhibit, and it'll feature Reformation coins. It'll also feature pieces from our rare book collection. We have books from the time of Luther at CHI too.
Wow.
So I think it's going to be books and coins.
Very
showing
uh-huh.
the Reformation. So we're getting ready. I mean, we talked about last time that the Papua New Guinea exhibit is coming down in a month.
Right.
And then we're going to get ready for this next exhibit. So if you don't know anything about Reformation coins and medals, we'd like to introduce you to this, I think, important, significant piece of the Reformation story.
Well, you brought a phone guest today.
Yes, for those who are tired of hearing me talk, Pastor Bill Wanglin is a contributing writer to our Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly, and he's written this letter on Carl Ludwig Geyer. So I thought it would be good to talk about the cousin of CFW Walther today.
Pastor Wengland, welcome to His Time.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Ta-da!
Here I am.
So now you have two Michiganders in studio.
Well, tell us a little bit more, Dan, about the writing and what we're going to talk about with Pastor Wengland.
Sure. Pastor has, he worked at CHI, and he's still going to counseling for that. But anyway, he's really contributed to moving Lutheran history forward with his research. And part of that research is, again, we have all of these documents. I brought in one today that they're not only in German, but they're in handwritten German. So this is kind of tough. I mean, you know, for the average researcher, for the average
But
STEM
the handwriting
student.
Is magnificent. I mean,
the handwriting is fantastic. I don't know.
It looks like a professional.
How's your handwriting, Andy?
Nothing like that.
How's your handwriting, Pastor Wengland?
It doesn't look that good.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, I think Pastor can explain, one of the reasons that this handwriting is so good is this is the letter that C.L. Geyer wrote asking for a daughter in marriage.
Wow. Right?
So, Pastor Wengland, who is this C.L. Geyer, and why is he a significant figure in early LCMS history?
Yeah, so we have two Michigan guys here, but we're going to talk about Lutherans in Wisconsin, because this is really a place where a lot of early Missouri Synod history played out, was in this wild frontier called Southern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Geyer was one of the theological students that gathered around Martin Steffen in Saxony leading up to the Saxon immigration in 1838-39. There were a lot of young men who were, you know, ready and willing to immigrate, go to the United States, go to America for the sake of the Lutheran cause. And Geyer was there, along with his cousins, C.F.W. Walther, and Walther's older brother, Otto Hermann Walther. Mm-hmm. And a number of these young men, some of them were ordained already before immigrating to Perry County, Missouri. A number of them were still just theological students. They served as teachers or tutors. And so after everything with Martin Steffen went down in Perry County, 1839, a lot of these guys were just still kind of finishing up their training or waiting and ready to serve in the Lutheran Church in some way. The same year that the Saxons came to Perry County, there was another group of Lutherans coming from Prussia under the leadership of Grabau. They went to Buffalo, New York, and a large group of them continued on to Wisconsin without their pastors. And it was these groups, these Lutheran settlements in Wisconsin then, that were continually asking for more pastoral care. And eventually they turned to the Saxons and they asked for a pastor. And so here was Carl Ludwig Geyer just waiting for a place to serve. So he was ordained in St. Louis, and they sent him up to the wilderness of Wisconsin. And little did he know just how much action he would see up there as far as just all the trials and challenges of ministry in the 1840s.
So it's kind of like getting a call to be a missionary, right? We don't
Absolutely.
Realize that the Midwest was wilderness.
Missionary territory, huh?
You think, you know, Wisconsin today, outside of Milwaukee, you just picture a lot of farms, right? Mm-hmm. Cheese, dairy farms, whatever it might mm-hmm. be. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to imagine there being no farms. I mean, for miles and miles and just thick, dense forest.
There's no roads.
Native Americans, right. Bears, you know, wild animals as far as you can see. Just this was the Wild West.
So, right. So obviously, getting a call to a place that they just have congregations forming. There's a scarcity of pastors. This is not for everybody, right?
These Saxon, pastors and theological candidates, you know, they were coming out of really kind of high culture 19th century Germany, Leipzig, Dresden. I mean, these were university guys. And so for them to go from, kind of a high point of civilization in that right. area or that time frame to this wilderness where you're just, you know, visiting these little farms that are, you know, 20, 30 miles apart, it must have been a huge culture shock.
These are people that in Dresden, they would hold out their pinky when they're drinking their tea.
Yeah, right.
You don't do that?
Meisen,
no. No, but can you talk about Pastor this the needs that he found when he arrived, and the kind of sketchy understanding that some of the congregations had as far as what makes a Lutheran pastor a Lutheran pastor?
Yeah, this these groups of settlements that went to Wisconsin, again, they went without pastors originally. The pastors that they were traveling with stayed in New York, Grabow and a few others. They settled in Wisconsin in 1839. The first Lutheran pastor in Wisconsin shows up 2 years later, 1841. His name was Krause. Mm-hmm. He ended up being a Buffalo Synod guy. And to imagine only one pastor in the entire area of territory of Wisconsin. And eventually there was a second Buffalo Synod pastor, Kinderman, but that still wasn't enough to serve all these different communities. And there were some conflicts that the Buffalo Synod pastors were having with these Lutheran communities. And there was this pattern that happened where, as the Buffalo Synod pastors would have conflict with their congregations, the congregations would turn to the Saxon pastors, who kind of had a reputation of being a little more understanding, maybe a little gentler, a little more diplomatic, so forth. And so the Saxon pastors would come in and serve then these congregations instead. Because there was such a shortage, there was this question of, can elders be leading worship? Can elders serve communion? Can elders lead the prayers? Can they give absolution? And all of these theological questions about church and ministry.
Sounds like that Synod Convention coming up this summer.
In Milwaukee, I believe.
Hey, there's a connection.
This is really where it started. It was because those Lutheran settlements went out in 1839 without their pastors, mm-hmm. that caused Grabow to write his infamous Hirten Brief, mm-hmm. which was this letter about how you really need ordained clergy. It's just that he went a little, you know, further than the Saxons were willing to go in obedience to the pastor. That started the whole church and ministry debate. Mm-hmm. So even though it was between the Buffalo Synod pastors in New York and the Saxons in St. Louis, the battleground was really the wilderness of Wisconsin.
Fantastic. One of the letters that we have here in the studio is the letter that C.L. Geyer wrote asking a widow for her daughter's hand in marriage.
Right.
And you think not only was he challenged in many ways, but these single guys, they had no family, right? So
yeah, he was about 32 years old when he was sent up to Wisconsin by himself and to take the last steamship of the season to get up there just, you know, in November, just before winter came, 1844. He didn't have a parsonage. He didn't have his own residence. He just stayed in people's homes as he kind of traveled around. And
For months, right?
Took care of him.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, to do a trip to Milwaukee, 50 miles away, he would stay there for, you know, 3-4 weeks at a time and then make his way back out to Lebanon. And this was the letter, I'm sure, that had the nicest handwriting of them all.
I posted a picture on Facebook, KFUO Radio on Facebook. There's a picture on it.
Cool. You know, as he's just very, you know, very politely, you know, explaining his situation and asking for Frau Binger's daughter's hand in marriage.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't. He didn't tell anything about he's sleeping in someone's garage right then. But anyway, but these letters, Pastor Wangen has translated. They're in the next issue of CHIQ. And again, if you're not receiving this, we'd love to put that into your hands. Give CHI a call and take a look at these historical articles. It's just fascinating.
What's the number for?
They're great windows into that time period. You know, if you could ask one of those pastors to say, "Hey, could you describe your situation and what's mm-hmm. going on around mm-hmm. you?" That's exactly what he's done in these four letters. Just great insights.
Thanks for being our guest today, Pastor Wangland.
You're welcome.
314-505-7900.
Thanks so much, Pastor.
Blessings.
God's blessings.
Take care.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.